Michael Benson is a kind of professional Hubble telescope fan. For a decade now, he has been curating its awe-inspiring images of space, as well as curating photos taken by space probes and telescopes on Earth. He's a photographer and a writer, as well as a filmmaker, and he has published these images of space in the kind of big, luscious books that you can lose yourself in for hours. But for his latest one, he's looked backwards, collecting the ways we pictured the universe before we had all this whiz-bang technology, when astronomers and artists had only their eyes, maybe a little telescope, and their imaginations. The book is called Cosmographics, and it covers 4,000 years. Michael Benson, welcome to Studio 360.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me in.
So this book, Cosmographics, is right in one of my sweet spots. I collect old images of the cosmos. I love maps. So really, this is one of my favorite art books ever.
Wow.
Your oldest depiction of the night sky here, I think, is from 2000 BC.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about that one?
So the Nebra Sky Disk is exactly the size of an old vinyl record. It's 12 inches wide. It's made out of copper and gold. It has a crescent moon and a full moon made in gold, gold hammered into the copper, and the Pleiades stars. It's the first representation of the universe, graphic representation of the universe known. They believe it's a portable device designed to allow the astronomer, astrologers, we don't know for sure what they were, to measure the solstices and all of this stuff that the you know, that Stonehenge and other of these astronomical sites did in a large scale. This was a portable way of doing it.
A lot of the images, I mean, Galileo was working just as the telescope was invented. A lot of the images, however, in this book are from before there were telescopes. Apart from this 4,000-year-old gold copper mobile thing, what other kinds of tools did people use to figure out what they were looking at?
There's a misconception that pre-Galileo, pre-Copernicus, depictions of the heavens were kind of spurious or not accurate or what have you. In fact, there was a lot of collection of evidence, work done in mathematics. Ptolemy, you know, the Alexandrian astronomer who wrote the Almagest, based his geocentric cosmology on lots of data. So, it's too easy to just dismiss it as, oh, well, it was wrong because the Earth was at the center.
But that was such a compelling image. It led people to think for the next 1,500 years, yeah, the Earth's at the center of the universe. That was the bad side of powerful images, right?
Yeah. You know, Heisenberg made a fantastic comment. What we see is not nature itself, but nature exposed to our method of questioning. In studying our picture of nature, we mistake our picture of nature for nature itself.
What you've just said, true enough, and Heisenberg said it, but it leads me to my next question, which is the kind of implied relativism about what's real, what's true, by including all these religious images of, you know, biblical creation and so forth, along with scientific images of planets. Are you implying that it just depends on what you're looking for and how you're looking, and your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth?
No, not at all. The whole methodology of science is that we're doomed to fail, or you know, every scientific finding is provisional and can be superseded. And if Ptolemy was wrong, maybe it was necessary to have all of those reiterations of his design graphically so that Copernicus could react against something.
One of the themes of this book is the way that maps and diagrams can themselves produce and propel the search for knowledge rather than just being a nice infographic. How so?
Oh, that's – I'm really glad you brought that up. So one of the central things that I learned when I made this book, and one of the central theses of the book, let's say, is that – an image can be just as important a source of knowledge and a way of conveying knowledge as words or equations. And not only that, images can be assembled from data sets, and then the image that's assembled allows for the discovery to be made. So Marie Tharp, you know, she started working at the Columbia Oceanographic Institute in the 1950s. And because she was a woman, she wasn't taken very seriously, and she got kind of a desk job while the men got to go out on the sonar sounding boats, you know. She started to assemble a map of the sonar sounding data. She discovered that in the middle of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge are a series of interconnected rift valleys, which was a substantial confirmation of tectonic plates. You know, she connected the dots.
She made visual this data that looked like noise or indecipherable.
Exactly.
Mess.
Exactly.
So that's so interesting because we think science began with visual observation. That was the empiricism. Then now it's all in physics and everywhere else, this reams of abstract data. Sometimes to become a picture again that we can just look at and in some commonsensical way find the truth is still how it works.
Absolutely. That's it.
That's so great. You have Van Gogh's Starry Night here in the book next to this 19th century astronomer's sketch of a galaxy somewhere. They are very similar, which is obviously why you put them together. So how did the evolving scientific depictions of the cosmos influence artists like Van Gogh?
So William Parsons was the Earl of Ross in Ireland, and he had enough money and enough interest, obviously, to build this huge telescope. It was the largest telescope in the world from the mid-19th century until early 20th century. It was 6 tons. They called it the Leviathan of Parsonstown. And by the way, he built it in a location that has about 60 good viewing nights per year because it's Ireland. Anyway, he managed to glimpse during one of those clear nights that what had previously been understood to be a nebula within the Milky Way had this spiral structure, okay? So then he made a detailed drawing of it. So that drawing of what we now know to be the Whirlpool Galaxy caused a sensation in the UK. It made its way into a French book popularizing astronomy by Camille Flammarion, the Carl Sagan of the 19th century. We believe that drawing led directly to Starry Night, the most famous artistic depiction of the night sky. Either it was in the library of the asylum in the south of France where he went after he cut his ear off, or he saw it in Paris just before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Lots of the images in this book are just fantastic, stunning artworks. And I understand that one of my favorites is also one of yours from 400 years ago, the one called Et Sic in Infinitum. And so on to infinity. Talk about that, what it looks like and what it is.
Yeah, that's an incredible piece. So that is, I mean, any of the listeners out there who know Kazimir Malevich's Black Square on a White Ground, which was from, I think it was 1916.
Just a black picture.
Pure abstraction, you know. It was a revolutionary piece of modernist art. Turns out that in 1617, Robert Fludd, this English physician and Paracelsian mystic guy, attempted to represent a time before time and space before space. So prior to any let there be light or what we might call a big bang, you know. And so his solution was a black square on white ground. That's 1617.
And imagine that this continues in all directions forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Did this book, Cosmographics, come out of how you were already thinking about images of the heavens and existence and the galaxies and everything, and or did it affect the way you think about that stuff?
Well, both, of course. I mean, definitely both. It came from a lot of thinking about the paradox that we will never succeed in understanding the universe, and we certainly won't succeed in presenting something so huge in something that can be held between our hands. But we have to try. It's not just trying and failing. It's trying and succeeding in describing an element that will lead us to the next stage. So in that sense, it's similar to the scientific method.
Michael Benson, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
The garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms.
You can see some images from Cosmographics at studio360.org.
My stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.